So today's message on the 7th of December, the second Sunday in Advent, is simply, are you too busy? Are you too busy? Now the children amongst us will probably think, well, no, I'm not too busy. I get bored often and not. But maybe you are too busy. Let's just read a little bit from Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So clearly, God intended us to work, didn't he? Some people react to that negatively and instinctively try to avoid hard work wherever possible, to the point where they become work shy. Work becomes unnatural to them, and a fear sets in that they no longer feel able to work. This can happen to young, fit, healthy people who, for whatever reason, have had time away from work. It's maybe a bit like dreading going back to school after the summer holidays, or starting work early on a Monday morning. I'm guessing most of us have felt like that more than once in their lifetime. But in reality, God gave us something to do for several reasons: to produce something of value in our lives, to earn money, to feed ourselves and our families, to work with and alongside other people. You wouldn't meet many people, would you, if you just stayed indoors and watched telly? And it would be very bad for your mental and physical health too. Other reasons might be so that we can enjoy using our natural talents to the advantage of others, to create wealth for ourselves, for our families, and to share with our friends and church family as well. But on the flip side of being successful in work, being blessed with a house or a car or children, or being able to earn enough to live comfortably, on the flip side of that is this. In Deuteronomy 8:17-20, it says, you may now say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Ouch! The Old Testament really goes straight for the jugular, doesn't it, sometimes? And you've got to admit that sometimes that's what we need to be told. Get very direct, unambiguous messages from God, which makes us look at our lifestyles carefully. You, and especially people like me. So right now, which side do you think you fall on regarding your workload and your attitude to earning a living versus taking a break and resting? Are you growing richer or poorer? Are you following God's guidance or doing it your way? Are you still enjoying life as God intended, or are you trapped in the work cycle of live to work and work to live? At the end of your work period, do you have anything left? Are you worn out? Are you spent? Are you fretful? Or on the other hand, are you bored to death or disillusioned because you never seem to prosper and you are fed up and dissatisfied with your life? Maybe you no longer have a job. Perhaps you're retired or facing retirement and don't quite know what to do with your time nowadays or in the near future. Perhaps you've fallen into a rut. You've got a bit depressed and can't seem to get back up again. That's quite common this time of year. It's cold, isn't it? It's wet, it's dark. And along with all that, there's that fast approaching Christmas season and all that comes with it. But kids love it, don't they? I remember being so excited at the thought of getting a train set or a remote controlled car. I did get one in the end, but it wasn't remote controlled. It was more like taking a little green dog for a walk on a lead. Or a kite. Or my first ever leather football. I can smell the linseed oil on that ball even today. My dad loved football and played in the men's team when he was still a youth. That's maybe why he agreed I could have that what would otherwise have been a very expensive gift. But how many of us older kids look forward to Christmas like that nowadays? For us, the excitement might be because we're having our children back for a few days, or we're going to see mum and dad, or some of our relatives. But something's for sure, there's likely to be a lot of preparation to be carried out one way or another. Remember this, stress is a killer. Remember that. It messes you up physically, mentally, and spiritually. And like a heart attack caused in part by high blood pressure, it creeps up on you with little warning. Stress. So what should we do about that? Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We all need that kind of peace, don't we? And there's more guidance to come. Remember this. In Mark 2:23-28, Jesus was about his business, and one Sabbath Jesus was going through the cornfields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. And then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" In other words, Jesus should be at the center even when we are resting. And we can be resting and recuperating while we're walking, while we're talking, while we're eating, while we're fellowshipping together. We don't need to do nothing in order to rest. We just need to be still and in the right company, the right kind of company. But are you too busy for that now? Is it difficult for you to wind down, to chill out? Do you feel guilty if you're not being productive or working towards your next goal? Do you always have to be doing something? I remember as a child living on a large country estate with very few children my age to play with, that my free time was mainly spent on adventures and getting into trouble, climbing trees, making dens and rafts and go-karts, and trying to ride bicycles that were far too big for me. There was little else to do, really, on that estate. So on the odd occasion when Dad drove us to the local town and we drive past a play park with swings and slides and roundabouts, I remember looking longingly out of the car window and saying, oh, if there's just one thing, if there's just one thing, I just wanted him to stop and spend some time with me while I had a go. Just had a go on those things. The problem was he always seemed to be in a hurry to get back home to finish his day's work. Looking back, I realised that amongst other things, I guess he was just too busy. Too busy. So the question today is, are you too busy? Are you too busy? Luke 10:38-42, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And it wasn't even Christmas. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Christmas can be a really stressful time for everyone, except perhaps the Jehovah's Witnesses, because they don't recognize or celebrate Christmas or birthdays. And maybe that's a great selling point for people around this time of year. Jesus could tell that Martha was more than just busy, though. He said, you are worried and upset about many things. So, if you can identify with Martha and sympathize with her workload, let's just consider if there's anything else that we're worried and upset about in our lives. There is such a thing as, and you've heard it perhaps, the straw that broke the camel's back. In other words, just like a heart attack caused in part by stress, creatures of burden like donkeys or horses or camels, for example, can only bear so much before it's too much. And a straw, as light as that might be, does have some weight, and it could be the last thing added to that donkey or whatever before it collapses. So what should we take from this? Yes, we should work. Yes, we should be successful and productive. But we should also take a leaf out of Paul's book. When he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4:9-13, this is what Paul said. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And Paul's letter to Timothy goes on for something else. 1 Timothy 6:6-9, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain, godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world. Just remember that. When you were born, like Jesus in the stable, brought nothing in, born naked, no clothes, no food, no sleeping bag, no nothing. And we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. It's a fine line, isn't it? A very fine line. The disciples gave up everything to follow Jesus, and yet they lacked nothing. In fact, the less clutter you have in your life and your mind, the more likely you are to be close to God and to be able to be led by the Holy Spirit. This world and the spirit of this age would have you think and do quite the opposite. You need more. You need bigger, better, faster, more of. But actually, you don't need a lot. So did Jesus tell Martha off for what she was doing? Or rebuke her for being industrious? No, but what he did say was, Mary, her sister, has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. He didn't say Martha shouldn't have been working. He said Martha's sister Mary had chosen what is better. And while Jesus is there, available, him will always be better. He will always be better. In other words, she found something that was more valuable than racing around trying to do everything as if she was responsible for everything. She wasn't responsible for everything. Believe me when I say that for capable, industrious, healthy people who like to get things done, there will be an endless list of things to get done. The list grows and grows and grows. You've heard the saying, if you want something doing, ask a busy person, haven't you? Because they never stop. They'll fit you in. They'll squeeze you in somewhere. And the busy person can be very busy for several different reasons. And one of them is this. If you want something doing properly, do it yourself. And if you think like that, you'll find out that you are doing everything. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy regarding being too busy, to the point where we forget how to relax, how to recuperate. And that's why I believe God wrote it as a commandment, and Jesus reminds us it was for our own good, not just a rule to be obeyed, because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So are you busy on your Sabbath day too? Do you ever get a day off? Because most of us are not Jewish here. We don't tend to down tools on Friday at sundown and pick them up again after nightfall on Saturday, after about 25 hours, generally speaking, of rest. And we don't tend to follow strict rules about what we can and what we can't do on our chosen Sabbath day of rest. But whereas Sundays used to be a day of rest, when the shops stayed closed and nobody except the police, nurses, service people, etc. work, nowadays it's just like any other day, isn't it? You've only got to walk through a city like London or Birmingham or Manchester to see that it never stops. Never stops. 24/7. And as we approach Christmas Day, the height of this season, are you already too busy? Do you need a break? Do you need a rest? Have you forgotten how to calm down? How to be quiet? Is it time to reassess your timetable? If we don't give God some quality time, if we let the urgent push the necessary out of the way, then be careful that it's not the last straw on its way to your back. You might not be a camel, but it's the same danger for us sheep, isn't it? Here's a little warning from God to anyone who makes work an idol and puts business before spending time with Jesus. Here's a warning from Psalm 95, 6 to 11. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. That's a terrible situation to be in, isn't it? To be so busy and preoccupied with day-to-day things that God is squeezed into a few thoughts, a few words, a little prayer here and there, to the point that you can barely remember the last time you spoke to each other. It's a bit like getting a Christmas card once a year with no message in it. Something that says, to X and Y and family with love from A and B. You almost feel like the relationship is all but over and dangling by a thread. And it's just through habit that you send Christmas cards, just in case they send one and you don't. And the good times that you may have had in the past are becoming just a memory, all because, well, perhaps we're just too busy. However, the next psalm sounds much better for us sheep and lambs. Don't you agree? This is much better, this one. This is Psalm 23, where David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you burn yourself out, you'll be of no use to anyone. And you won't enjoy, or won't be able to enjoy, the things that God has already given you and is hopefully preparing for you in the future. Remember, even the Marthas in our lives need a day of rest and need to spend time with the Good Shepherd. To remember, therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honour your father, your holy father, God. Honour him and spend some time with him. Don't be too busy. Honour your father in heaven and set aside some time to be together, especially over Christmas. Don't get too busy. Father, we thank you that you know what we're like. You know that sometimes in this fast world, where even as I speak now, cars are rushing past this chapel on a Sunday, and sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night and our minds start racing over things that have got to be done, things have got to be fixed, things have got to be prepared. Lord, save us from ourselves. Help us, Lord, to spend some time with you. Lord, restore our souls. We, Lord, can be our worst enemies, our own worst enemies. So bless us, we pray. And Lord, look after your sheep as you want to. In Jesus' name, amen.